Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Sees.
And I'm Brian Williams, and we are going to continue our discussion now about where we are and where we are going.
You know, if we go back to our original question, you look at the tension between what God's promised and where we are. It's not an overnight thing. It's a process.
Yeah.
And not only is it a process one where we have to work on what we're doing while we allow God to do what he does.
Yeah.
In that process, we have to also not circumvent the will of God and say, this is taking longer than what I want it to take. I need to move off to the side.
Right.
In that process, we have to also understand there's times of sowing.
Yeah.
And there's times of reaping, and we need to, in cyclical nature, do both of them. And while all that's going on, what you're talking about here is we have to create systems.
Yeah.
To make sure that, hey, when someone walks in, they feel welcome. Hey, how you doing? We capture their information to follow up with them. And then in addition to that, we've got to have a way to start grounding those people.
Yeah.
Because after they're grounded, it's no longer, I don't come to church anymore for me.
Yeah.
I come to church, one, to worship God, to get myself in a better place, but because I have a ministry to give back to the church, and I have a ministry to give to somebody else. And so it's this movement from me taking to me giving, and the processes around it.
You know, to piggyback on what you just said, I have learned that there are some aspects of church planting and my personality that do not mix, okay? So by nature, I've never been diagnosed, so I don't want to make light of other people that have diagnoses, like legitimate diagnoses, but I've been accused by some people of having attention deficit disorder, okay? I mean, from my wife to people that I work with in my job, of being a person that my mind's always running, and I'm looking at that next new thing.
Yes.
Okay. So look at that next new thing. If you're an entrepreneur, you're always looking for that next new opportunity. And so your mind's racing. You're always looking about doing things, right? Typically, people that are like this are great starters and horrible finishers. Okay. Okay. So that is my personality. So when things aren't happening quick or happening fast, I have a tendency to lose interest in them really fast and go on to something else.
Yeah.
But truly, the best business owners, and I know that there's a difference between building a church and building a business. We're talking about different things here. But the really good business owners are the ones who are able to have the discipline to do the boring things.
Yeah.
And you got to get really good at doing the boring stuff. And that, I think, is the secret sauce. If you're looking for a life hack or a business hack or anything, I do think there's a theology somewhere in all this. I haven't got it all figured out yet. But getting really good at the boring stuff.
Yeah.
And that, a lot of times, has to do with systems. You know, having to flesh this whole thing out, getting people to stick to a system, because when things don't go as planned, sometimes people get out of the system and they start just kind of flying by the seat of their pants. Learning how to do the boring things well in times when you're not seeing great increase or whatever is in a way preparing yourself better for the next level of harvest.
Yeah. So I remember you and I talking, I think, around the first time you took over in Sierras.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember us talking about different things that you could do to reach the community and different stuff that people had said, like, hey, you know, try a coffee shop or do this or do that.
Yeah.
And I remember the back and forth. And I remember at one point, I was just like, Brian, I really don't think it matters what you do as long as you continue to do it.
Right.
And so I think a lot of things is consistency. Now, I'm not saying if you've done something for 2 years and it hasn't worked, keep doing it, because that's just insanity.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times I'm the same way. So, my wife is a counselor, and so I haven't been diagnosed, but my wife is pretty sure I have ADHD, and so I can go with right way. One of the hardest things for me, in the end of December, I'm like, you know what? Wednesday, I want to start getting people rooted. We've got some new people, and so towards the end of December, I'm like, I'm just going to teach through on Wednesdays, teach, preach, through the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And so the hardest thing for me was like, okay, Wednesday, Acts 1.
Yeah.
Okay, Wednesday, the second half of Acts 1.
Yeah.
Wednesday, all right, Acts 2. Boy. And so just going through it. But the crazy thing about it was I stuck with it.
Okay.
I didn't get all the way through yet.
Yeah.
But I told the church, hey, there's going to be times where we come off and go where I feel God to go. I'm not going to let the series hold me in. Yeah. But we ended December because I stuck to course just teaching Acts. I taught through Acts December and early January. And in those 4 weeks, end of December, early January, we had 7 people get the Holy Ghost on a Wednesday night.
Wow.
Sticking to the process.
Yeah.
Hey, just teach, just stick through the process. And so sometimes, like for us, one of the things that worked in getting people there is the back to school bash.
Yeah.
And so since it worked, I'm gonna stick with it.
Yeah.
Me going to a coffee shop in Turlock.
Yeah.
I go to Lamo and I go to this one Starbucks where a lot of people go, and I get conversations there.
Yeah.
But in something that's not more city focused, where I lived in Pennsylvania, you didn't go to coffee shops.
Yeah.
I think the closest coffee shop we had when I first was there was a Dunkin' Donuts, and that's not really much of a coffee shop.
Okay, so I have an idea for you.
Yeah.
Can we go off script for a second?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't know we had one.
Okay, so I'm actually going to revisit this coffee shop.
Yeah.
Because originally, like you said, I was told from great people, successful people, you know, you ask, I'm the type of person to ask questions. Get on the phone, call people who have done it and are doing it, ask them questions and figure out what to do. Well, you know, a lot of people told me, or a few very significant people, go sit down at a coffee shop and meet people, you know? Well, that just sitting in a coffee shop, my personality, just sitting there and waiting to talk to people as they just kind of filter out of the building, you feel like you're stopping, you know, there's just, it was awkward conversation to me. I never saw anything happen. It was easier for me to go down to the emergency room and check myself into the emergency room and talk to people than it was to do it this way. However, I feel like there's a better way to do this. I feel like if I, like on our website, talk about coffee with the pastor.
Yeah.
Okay. And I set a schedule where I'll go sit in a coffee shop from X time on X day, maybe Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, and I get them to come to me, right? And that way, I feel like that is a better, I haven't tried it yet, but.
Open office hours in the coffee shop.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll sit there, maybe I'll go in there and study. If people don't show up, they don't show up.
Yeah.
But I'll set a schedule on one afternoon where I say, coffee with the pastor, come ask me any questions about the church, whatever. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a Bible study. It's more introducing yourself to the church. And, you know, this could be done on people that are new to your church, people that have been coming for a while, because you know how it is. You don't have a lot of time to meet with everybody in a personal space. Maybe they want to talk to you. I feel like if I did that, I think that would be a more successful way to do it than to go in there and sit and wait for people to just show up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's a more, it's just a better use and better stewardship of the time that we have.
Yeah. One of the things we did that's a little bit of a passive way to engage is they don't look the best, but, you know, I'm not a graphic designer. They look okay.
Okay.
And thank you for Canva and thank you for being able to use cartoon style photos because when it's cartoonish, it doesn't have to look awesome because people know it's kind of playful, right?
Right, yeah.
And so I've got this sticker. It was actually Austin Goodman's idea, and I brought it to life in a maybe not so awesome way, but it works.
Yeah.
But we have a sticker, and that sticker is like a cartoonish looking Bible. It's got the church's logo on it, and the sticker says, "Ask me for a Bible study."
Yeah.
There put that on the back of the computer.
Yeah.
Some people talk to me. Other people, I'm just sitting there doing work, and people come up and start talking to me. I've also made it a point the last couple of weeks. It's just kind of like getting yourself out there, right?
Yeah.
And I don't go out. So, like, if I'm walking around town, I typically don't have a shirt on like this.
Yeah.
I typically have a long sleeve T-shirt on that has Bible verses or something on the back of it. So I've got a couple different Revival brand T-shirts. I've got a couple different Holy Ghost Radio t-shirts. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple different Bible quizzing t-shirts. All of them have scripture on the back.
Yeah.
And then I started wearing, shout out to Nathaniel Urshan, I started wearing Biblo shirts. I bought three of them at Summit, three different colors, and it says, it's a great day to be apostolic on the back of them. And so I'll be standing in line waiting for to pay or waiting for my coffee, and without question, someone always comes up to me, hey, I really like your shirt.
Okay.
Awesome. Where do you go to church at?
Yeah.
And it starts a conversation, and I think maybe 8 out of 10 people that say, I like your church, or like your shirt, when I say, where do you go to church, they have an answer.
Right.
But two of them, well, actually, I've been looking for one.
There you go. Okay, so I want to tell you about a little problem that I'm trying to solve for at Sierra's right now. Because somebody told me one time about what it means to be truly apostolic from a like a theological perspective. And I just want to kind of read this here. And it actually makes a lot of sense to me. And maybe you can, it's in Acts 2. So we all obviously know in Acts 2, that was the birth date of the church, Peter's message to everyone, you know, repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they that gladly received his word, in verse 41, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. Okay, so they had 3,000 souls added to them. What happens next is sort of like where we're trying to be.
Yes.
And where we what we need to be as a church.
And they continued.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, okay, that's the first part. I don't feel like I'll have a problem with that. I mean, we can doctrine, you know, I've been in this a long time. We can continue in doctrine. There's a lot to say about doctrine there. But there's other aspects of this that are important, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And somebody said one time, I'm not the originator of this, but to truly be apostolic, you have to have all four, okay? You need apostolic doctrine, and we're really good at that. But you also need fellowship. And if we're not careful, we'll spend all of our time ministering to people in service, and then when service is over, hey, see you guys later, we'll see you next week, you know? And we're not really leaning into fellowship, because sometimes there needs to be fellowship that happens, good godly fellowship that really doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the church service or whatever. It's fellowship. And hand in hand with that is breaking of bread. And so what I'm looking for right now is opportunities to allow for that to happen, because I feel like the next stage of growth in our church is tied to those things, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers.
And so if you look at those four items like a sandwich.
There you go.
Doctrine.
Now you're talking my language right there.
Prayer.
Sandwiches.
You're saying we've got two pieces of bread and we're missing the contents in between.
Okay, so you
we don't have, we've got prayer, or we've got apostles' doctrine, we're missing fellowship, we're missing breaking of bread, and we've got prayer.
Okay, so,
and so
prayer.
We've got we're eating a butter sandwich right
that's
now.
That's right. And it's like the sandwich, the bread, the bun on the top is really big. You know, the doctrine bun, but the bottom on the bun, it's thin. You know, we need to increase
with
prayer.
No meat inside. Yeah. Well, so it's interesting. That's one of the things we started doing. So we started trying to plan out our calendar to have more fellowship.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. So the way we have stuff structured at the church, I'm not saying this is obviously the right way you structure it, how you see fit and what works for you. But so Sunday's obviously church. Monday we have saved and sober. Tuesday we have ladies' prayer. Wednesday we have midweek service. Thursday we have men's prayer. And Friday is kind of like this day where nothing goes on at the church. And so what we've started doing on Fridays is we've been pushing fellowship, some fellowship to Fridays. So like this past Friday, the men had fellowship. I think it's October 10th or somewhere around there, whatever the Friday is in that time frame. The women are having a ladies' fellowship. And so when we started talking about the fellowship to get together, the first question I got was, okay, so should we cancel men's prayer on Thursday? And so when we get together on Friday for fellowship, we pray. I'm like, no, we're going to have prayer on Thursday, and we're going to have fellowship on Friday. Okay, so what are we going to do Friday? fellowship. We're going to bring out the grill. We're going to throw some carne asada on the grill. We're going to tell everybody, hey, bring a side. We're going to bring out games. We're going to fellowship. We're going to have a good time. We'll pray for a little bit maybe, but we're really just going to get to know one another, and we're going to have good, wholesome fellowship. That way, if you want to bring somebody, they know the church also knows how to hang out with people and have a good time and fellowship. I think it's absolutely important. I think every aspect of that is. When I was in Sealands Grove, I remember asking the congregation when I pastored there, if you broke down on the side of a road, if your car broke down, who would you call? Give me the top five names that you would call if you broke down on the side of the road. And almost everybody in the church, their list of five included nobody from the church.
Wow.
And the reason it didn't include anybody is because we came to church and had church together. We came to the church and got doctrine together.
Yeah.
We came to the church and we had prayer together.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I didn't know what type of human being you are because we never fellowshiped together. And so fellowship creates more of a bonding where, hey, when life happens and life on life terms happens, it produces the opportunity for me to be like, oh yeah, I know brother so-and-so can help me out on this.
Right.
I know Joe's a mechanic. He can come help me.
Right.
Oh, I'm having issues with my water at the house. I know Tim's a plumber.
Right.
You start to learn who people are, and you can work within your own network. So I think fellowship is absolutely important. I think it is something that is underutilized in the apostolic movement. The most we have for fellowship is around conferences.
Right.
But what does the local church... I think... One of the things I love when we lived in Sacramento and we're at the Rock Church before we had planned it out is the Rock Church kind of tries to find a way to make some of that stuff happen.
Right.
Whether it's Unite, whether it's, what's the thing, Manifest, or whether it's, what's the thing with the games and the
Rock Creation.
They try to find meaningful ways that they can incorporate fellowship into what they're doing. I think it's absolutely essential.
Right.
So in a small context, you know, we're not the Rock Church of Elk Grove.
Right.
I don't have a weekly attendance of 1,400 people. I've got a weekly attendance of about 70.
Yeah.
And so we try to space it out so there's a fellowship once a month.
Right.
What ideas, what are you thinking in terms of fellowship?
That's a good idea. So what I'm doing this fall is once a month we're having a fellowship after service. We just started this. Our first one is going to be next Sunday.
Okay.
So, and we're going to try to use it as a tool to get new people to come. And then after service, we have food. And this is another way to incorporate some people that are brand new. You know, some of the people that are new people that have come to our church. And they just want to get involved. I mean, they're just new and they cook.
Yeah.
And so it's a good opportunity to say, let's share some of this. And it's a good way for them to get involved. And so, you know, what is driving this is we're utilizing people that are new in this and giving them not just a thing where they are receiving, but getting them to enjoy the benefits and the opportunities of serving and giving back to their church. So once a month for September, October, November, and December, one of those Sundays afternoons after service is over, we're going to do the whole tear the church up and put up some tables and just have a time where we fellowship. Now, what I would like to do is do more extensive ones like you're doing, where you're doing it during the week. You have opportunities to do that during the week. But I think this is a good step forward for where
absolutely.
We're at.
You know? Absolutely. A lot of times we'll go out to eat, and it's a decent-sized crowd going out, and you got to wait for a little bit. You know, it's easier to do it at the church for sure. Yeah. One of the things I notice in terms of fellowship is after service is over, I would say 75% or more of the people that attend the church in Turlock, they just kind of congregate inside the sanctuary and they're talking for another 45 minutes or an hour. And if someone doesn't say, hey, where are we going to eat?
Yeah.
They just stay there and congregate. And so it's interesting to me because those 75, 80% of people that congregate and fellowship afterwards, I never have to worry or ask myself, will they be there next service?
Right.
Because there's a connection point taking place
even
after the service. And it's, it's kind of cool because it's more of an organic fellowship, right? Yeah. There's nothing planned. But I think in planning stuff like this, it gives the opportunity, like you're saying, to bring outsiders in. I know one of the things when I first converted, I guess maybe that's the easiest way to say it, I didn't always live an apostolic life. I came into this truth when I was 24 years old. Mm-hmm. And one of the hardest things for me when I converted and got saved was, how do you have fun in a wholesome way? Because I've never had fun in a wholesome way up until that point. And so what was good for me, I actually had the real decent opportunity to live in an apartment that was owned by the pastor of the church, and it was actually on his property. And so what taught me to have a good time in a wholesome way was seeing him have a good time in a wholesome way.
That's good.
Now, not everybody gets the opportunity to live on the same property as their pastor.
Yeah, that's true.
And in some scenarios, that's probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. But that being said, we learn by watching others do it. Jesus didn't just teach them.
Yeah.
Jesus showed them.
Right.
And so I think that's a wholesome side of fellowship as well.
Yeah. And just to kind of, you mentioned going out to eat afterward. That's what you guys do.
High money.
High money. That.
I mean, I don't go to high money restaurants. I'm saying if you go out to eat after every service, whether it's Taco Bell or whether it's the Mexican restaurant down the street, at the end of the day, it costs you money.
All right. And especially if you're in a group of people and you go, hey, where are we going out to eat? In our church, anyway, there's people there that may not have enough to go out to eat, right? And so I think having these situations where they happen at the church, right after service for me, you know, after service is over, hey, we're having food here. There is not that expectation. Everyone can be included without paying for it. Now, I think down the road to create a situation that's a little more sustainable, maybe we do have something where people give, but it's like less than what they would pay if they went to McDonald's or anywhere else. It's just enough to keep the ministry going. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. So that's a good point. Fellowship, you want to try to find ways that not only are you having fellowship, but you're making it inclusive, that everybody can partake in the fellowship.
Yeah.
Because now that you say that, I'm thinking, you know, hey, maybe some of the reasons some people don't hang out afterwards in the back of the church and fellowship is because they're like, I know in about 20 minutes they're going to say, hey, where are we going out to eat?
Yeah.
I don't have money in my pocket today to go out to eat. So I'm just going to leave before that question's asked.
That's very true.
That's good. I like that. We might start implementing that too. We've got a little courtyard. Bring out the grill after services at least once a month and have a good old time and potluck it up. And
you know, they say that you can go to like Panda Express and for $50 at Panda Express, you know, you can get this giant family type deal. I mean, for, you know, not very much money. So it's like there are ways to do this that don't require a lot of money, and you can include people and, you know, do it in a sustainable way.
Absolutely.
So,
Well, thank you for joining us this week on All Things Apostolic. We look forward to seeing you next week.